Warning, the following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name's Jonathan, and I am here today with Chris. Hello, Chris.
Good afternoon, Jonathan.
How are you today?
I'm doing really well, thank you. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderfully.
It's good to be back on the show.
It's good to see you. It's been like a month and a half since you've recorded with us. We have Carmella. Hello, Carmella.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Wonderful to see you again.
Nice to see you.
And we have Rick Little today. Hello, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, folks. How are you today?
Woo-hoo! It is good to see you. Now, Rick, you are a major. You're a major in the Trivial Warfare Army.
Major Rick Little?
Major
Rick Minor Little. Major. Yep.
He's nothing minor about you, my friend. And now, Rick, you're a businessman. You have a business called, what is it? Is it Little Painted Creations? Did I say that right?
Little Painted Creations.
Tell us about
yes.
it.
I'm a decorative painter, part-time. I'm a medical courier full-time. That's my job. I travel 4 states on a daily basis, 650 miles every day. I enjoy that job, but I also do decorative painting on glass ornaments, glassware, furniture, things like that. And I attend shows during the holiday season.
We were talking before the show, you do some intricate work. You do like ornaments and you do other things that really require a little bit of talent. If somebody's interested in looking at what you've done or potentially working with you, where should they find you?
They can send me an email at rickpainterosci@yahoo.com. I am in the process of getting a webpage up and going, as well as I have a small presence on Facebook as well as Etsy.
Awesome. Okay, so guys, we have had a really big couple of weeks since the last time we got together.
There's been a lot of good stuff going on with Trivial Warfare lately, for sure, as a show.
I agree with you. Not the least of which, we hit our 200,000th download.
200,000th episode or download, excuse me.
Yes. So
200,000.
We've had over 200,000 downloads at this point.
That's amazing. And by the way, it's very rare that there's a word that I can say that you cannot.
As a kid, I did speech therapy for my S's and D's.
I understand.
That still doesn't stick.
Especially. Yes. Especially is one of my hard ones.
Especially.
Especially.
So 200,000, guys.
Wow.
Thank you so Excellent. Much to everybody who's been downloading and listening. Good job. We appreciate it.
Jonathan, when you and I started this, we never thought we'd get to 200,000 downloads.
You might not have.
Okay. Oh, come on.
I got big dreams, Chris.
I hear you, but when we recorded the first episode, I doubt that was one of your big dreams.
No, that wasn't one of my big dreams.
He's got to have big dreams. Have you seen the size of his head?
Oh, good.
Oh, wow.
Man,
wow.
It's already started.
I know. I didn't even say anything wrong.
Man.
You didn't. I just wanted to pick on you. I haven't picked on you in weeks, Jonathan.
Oh, my gosh.
So anyway, but really just I'm proud of you and the work that you've done in Jonathan. I'm proud of the work that us as reoccurring characters in your show are doing in here. And then I'm also just really proud of the people that are supporting the show, whether it's financially like Rick or if it's just the amazing people that we have on the Facebook site.
Yeah.
That is allowing us to make this bigger and bigger every single episode, really.
Awesome.
So, and then you've done a lot of extra work too, Jonathan, because you've been cross promoting like crazy.
We've had some cool opportunities recently. You guys just heard the bonus episode with Rob Sesternino, and a couple of weeks ago before that, you heard Brian Ebbett and Charles McFall come on.
Yes.
And actually, Carmella, as a result of that, Charles reached out to you.
Yes.
And asked you to come on a different show.
Yeah, he asked me to come on to the Pokemon Go podcast. Because he heard us talking about Pokemon in a few episodes back and found out that I play. And so I went on. It was Charles and Chris from Breaking the Panel was on there, too.
Mm-hmm.
We talked Pokemon Go news. We shared stories. And we just had a good time. So, and that episode actually just came out this past week.
I listened to it. So. It was quite enjoyable.
Yeah.
Very cool. I like to download.
Yeah. We did talk about you a little bit.
I heard that. By the way, you have such a great voice. We don't actually talk about it at all. But when I hear it on somebody else's show, it really comes through. It's like, gosh, she really does have a good voice.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
By the way, you have a big head because you have a big brain. All of us have big heads. Just want to throw that out.
Just because I complimented you doesn't mean you try and pull back your insult.
I'm the only one with a big head with a little brain. Thank you very much.
Oh, so you're a dinosaur?
And I did a couple of other shows myself.
You have.
I haven't had a chance to talk about it yet. But we were just on, I was just on Trivia Geeks a few weeks back, actually, against an erotic writer.
Yes.
In a trivia competition against an erotic author.
That was a very interesting episode. I actually listened to the live version of that, and that was, that was very interesting, John.
Oh, it wasn't bad. So you guys check out the show Trivia Geeks. It's a few episodes back now, but it's Jonathan Oakes versus Patient Lee.
Yeah, I haven't heard this one yet.
And for the record, I didn't say it was bad. I just said it was very interesting.
And just, what was it?
Did they take your innocence, Chris?
No, but they took Jonathan's, that's for sure.
Hey. Just last week, I always mess up because last week is when it came out, but when this airs, it'll be almost a month ago. Yeah. I was on the Gaming Outsider with Scott Clark, and this was a video game show. I went on and basically hosted a full episode of Trivial Warfare on their show with a video game focus.
Wow. Okay.
And so if you guys love the video game shows, be sure to check out the Gaming Outsider. All right. I think that's enough sharing what we've done. I think it's time to warm it up, Chris.
Warm it up, Chris!
We actually have a listener submitted question.
Okay.
And this is from Brian Eller.
Brian Eller, new private.
Oh,
by
very
the way.
Nice. Thank you,
Brian.
Brand new private in the TWA.
Thank you, Private Eller. Okay. So Brian says on the email that he sent to me, "Hey, Chris and Jonathan, I'm loving the show. I recently wrote a review for you guys and you rock. So Rick, Carmella, and Jonathan, my question to you is for warming up Chris is the top 10 TV shows in the 1990s, according to Rolling Stone magazine's readers."
All right. So Rolling Stone had a poll, and this is the results.
That is correct, yes. And it's a reader's poll.
Of the 90s.
Of the 90s, that's correct. And so, Rick, you are our guest, so I'm going to let you go first.
Let's say 90210.
Beverly Hills 90210, believe it or not on the list.
Ooh.
Boo.
But sorry. This is not good.
All right. But that is all right. So, Carmella, you're up.
Now, 90s was like the time where I actually watched a lot of TV.
Is that your jam?
I'm going to say Friends.
Friends, number two. So, on the list.
You stole my answer.
I did. All right. Well, telepathic.
She went before you, so there's a good reason.
Because you went counterclockwise.
And your point being is
never
it's my game.
He's going, back
true.
In time.
It's my game. You're in my world now, mister.
I'm going to say Home Improvement.
Home Improvement, not on
what?
The list.
Aww.
Remember, this is Rolling Stone magazine.
And people don't like the laugh.
Well, there are a few comedies on here, but that's not one of them. So, all right, Rick, back to you, sir.
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, number one on the list.
How did I not think of Seinfeld? I'm such a doofus.
That was going to be my next answer.
All right. So, well done, Rick. All right. So, Carmella, on to you to steal Jonathan's answer.
Think louder, Jonathan.
I got nothing.
Let's go with The Simpsons.
The Simpsons, number four on the list. And you just took Jonathan's again, according to his expression. Amazing. So, Jonathan, you're up. Can you get on the board?
Probably not. I don't know anything. My mind is a blank. I'm trying to think of dramas from the 90s, and I'm really blanking badly. ER.
ER, not on the list. So after two rounds, Carmella's up two to Rick's one to Jonathan's goose egg.
All right. I thought I figured one out there.
That's true.
I really did.
Yes. Rick, you're up, sir.
Let's try Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer, number 10 on the list.
I thought about Buffy, but I didn't think that would beat ER.
Again, Rolling Stone magazine's readers.
I know that, Chris, but I don't care. Most people think ER is a better show than Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Anyway, moving on. Carmella, you're up.
Allie McBeal?
Alec McNeil, I'm sorry, is not on the list.
You said Allie McNeil like she was like a McDonald's menu item.
Yeah, baby.
All right.
That's
yes.
disgusting.
Well, actually, I think that was early 2000s, as a matter of fact. I don't know if that was necessarily in the 90s.
I'd like a McBLT.
Oh, man. All right. So, Jonathan, the question is, can you get on the scoreboard?
Well, probably not, man. I'm going to go with, I got so much nothing right now.
An excess of nothing?
Melrose Place.
I'm sorry, Jonathan, not on the list. So, okay, we're going to go one more round just to make Jonathan squirm a little bit more, and then I'll reveal the rest of the list. So, Rick, you're currently tied with Carmella with 2. Can you make her squirm?
I'm drawing a blank right now. I got nothing.
All right, so tapping out. So, Carmella for the win.
Oh, NYPD Blue.
I'm sorry, not on the list.
CSI.
I think that was in the 2000s.
That was definitely
buddy.
A 2000 show.
Not on the list. Okay, so Carmella and Rick, you're the winners of Warm It Up, Chris, with Woo-hoo! 2 answers each.
There you go.
So number 1, Seinfeld. Number 2, Friends. Number 3, which you guys did not get, The X-Files.
Oh. Freaking X-Files.
4,
Mouthful?
A little bit.
Number 4, The Simpsons. 5, Frasier.
Whatever.
6, Twin Peaks.
Oh,
whatever.
I love
Isn't
Twin
that
Peaks.
About you on here?
Nope. 7, Northern Exposure.
What?
Number 8, Roseanne.
Okay.
9, Beavis and Butthead. And 10, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
This list sucked. Rolling Stone readers, you suck.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't allowed
okay.
to watch Beavis and Butthead because I was a kid in the 90s.
This list.
All right.
This list. Northern Exposure. And Twin Peaks.
Twin
really?
Peaks is great.
Twin Peaks
I don't
is
care.
Great.
I don't care.
It is great.
You don't like anything.
I don't. This
and,
is me not
and
caring.
And the revival of Twin Peaks comes out later on next year.
Yes.
And you know what that'll be?
Great.
Terrible.
Great.
Are you Tony the Tiger? It's
great.
All right. So, Brian Aller, thank you very much. And
Thanks,
that
Brian.
Is your Warm It Up, Chris, question of the episode.
Good job, Brian.
Jonathan Blake.
Welcome, good job, Brian.
Welcome back to Trivial Warfare, sort of.
Okay, it is time to start the game.
Time to play the game!
Here's how it works. Our game is 6 rounds long, 3 questions per round, and each question is worth 10 points. There will be a midpoint question after round 3 that's worth 20 points. And when we get to the final question at the end of the game, you will be able to wager any or all of what you've earned throughout the game. If you're playing along at home, you can pause the game after each question to give yourself a chance to think about it and answer before listening to us. All right, guys, let's get started. All right, Carmella, take it away.
All right, so I'm going to assume that Chris and Rick are on a team together.
Chris and Rick are on a team together. Thank you for asking or assuming. You have a good knack for understanding what's going on.
Yeah, I do, because it wasn't explained to me.
Right. It's so dark and scary in Jonathan's brain. Oh, no.
Well, you're on a different wavelength Not than me and her right now.
Again, little sleep.
All right, so let's start off round 1. Your first category is in celebrities.
Okay.
Like in them or?
Ew.
Just wondering.
Again,
disgusting. Not a Richard Gere question, is it?
Oh,
hamster.
No.
Hamster.
What is the name of the hamster in
that
the
is
Richard
so
Gere? No,
wrong.
It's still too soon.
Still it is too not too soon.
It's too soon. To make Richard Gere hamster jokes.
We need to celebrate that hamster. He went where no man has gone before.
That, oh, my God.
Not necessarily be true.
Oh, shut up. All right. You guys are stupid. All right. The question is, Annika Tanya Mirage is the birth name of what female recording artist?
Whoa.
Okay. Starting off with a bang instead of a whimper.
Say the name again, please.
Yes.
Annika Tanya Mirage.
Does Anika have two N's or one?
One N. It's O-N-I-K-A.
Actually, I think I might know this. Rick, do you
trust me? I got nothing,
me?
Chris.
Are you okay if I lock in so Jonathan can maybe talk it out?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
I'm locked in then.
Absolutely.
Anika Tanya. Tanya's T-A-T-O-N-Y-A?
T-A-N-Y-A. And Mirage, since you were probably going to ask anyway, is M-A-R-A-J.
Oh. Well, that actually really leads me in a direction, thankfully, because it sounds... It's a similar spelling to the last name. I'm just going to rearrange these letters and come up with Nicki Minaj.
Okay. Christopher?
And my answer was Nicki Minaj.
It is Nicki Minaj.
There you go.
I'm glad I asked for the spellings because the spelling is what gave it to me.
Well, I just kind of rearranged Mirage a little bit, and that's how I got it.
Good job.
Yeah.
I was nowhere close to that without the spelling, by
the
way. That was no way I was getting that.
Your next category is in textiles.
A very popular category on Trivial Warfare.
Should be.
Yeah.
What the dang heck? All right, Rick, this is all yours, man.
What kind of animal does cashmere wool come from?
Can I go?
I think I know what it is.
Okay, so cashmere wool. Technically, you think wool.
Dun-dun-dun-t, 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 dun-dun-dun-t. Thank you.
Really?
Ow.
Technically, you think wool comes from sheep and lambs and ewes guys. But I feel like cashmere comes from a rabbit. So it might be a foolish answer, but I'm going to say rabbit.
All right. Rick?
I think it's a llama.
He said llama.
The answer is goats.
Oh,
cashmere goats.
Goats.
Man.
Why did I think rabbits? What comes from rabbits?
Rabbit fur.
Oh. Rabbit foot.
Rabbit ear stew.
Rabbit
Same
pellets.
Reason I thought llama.
Man. All right. That's a better answer than what I would have given. I would have just said sheep and been done with it. But
wow. I thought, okay. Goats. I got to remember goats.
Rabbit stew.
All right. Your last category in the round is in television. Chip Skylark. From the animated series Fairly Odd Parents, was voiced by Chris Kirkpatrick. What famous boy band was Chris Kirkpatrick in?
Kirkpatrick?
Yeah, Kirkpatrick.
Okay.
Rick, do you trust me? Because I know the answer 100%.
I do.
Okay, because if there's a strength that Chris has, it's boy bands. So
Yeah. It's like...
So, Carmelo, we're locked in.
All right, Jonathan.
If there's a strength that Jonathan has... It's not knowing anything about boy bands. I consider that a strength.
Please tell me. Please know I'm kidding. I just knew this answer.
No, I don't think you're kidding.
No, I'm pretty sure he's right. Okay, so Fairly Odd Parents, I believe, is a show that's really only maybe 5-10 years old. So this boy band could have been active probably before the year 2005. I'm just going thought process here.
Spitballing.
And so before 2005, still is a huge range. It's Chris Kirkpatrick.
Yes.
I've never heard the name. Could be 98 Degrees. Backstreet Boys. I don't think so. I don't think it's NSYNC. I don't think it's, New Kids on the Block. Don't think it's Menudo.
I don't know why you said it like that, but that's awesome. They should be referred to that
Rutabaga?
Forever.
I'm going to guess 98 Degrees.
All right, Christopher?
Yeah, bye. That would be NSYNC, baby.
Is it?
It is NSYNC.
I'll take my 10 points. Thank you very much.
Nice one, Chris. Our 10 points.
That's right, our 10 points. I apologize for that, man.
I don't know nothing about no NSYNC.
And you're okay with not getting that 10 points, aren't you?
No, I really wish I got it.
NSYNC was my favorite.
That was your jam?
That was my jam.
What do you think about JT now?
I still like him. He was never my favorite in NSYNC. Oddly enough, it was Lance Bass who was my favorite.
Nice. I've seen a picture. He went to the prom with Topanga from Boy Meets World.
Yes, I remember that.
And there's a picture of them like posing. And Danielle, he's so Fischel. Shy. Fischel.
Thank you. I was
trying he's to so shy time. That even though they're supposed to be like holding each other, he's got his arm around her back and it's a good half a foot away from touching her. He just has his arm situated behind her.
There's probably other reasons for that as well, but
it's just an uncomfortable looking picture to me.
Yeah.
All right. Round two, Carmella.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you want to do a scoring update?
Not really.
I think you do.
I was bypassing that.
Hey, Rick, would you like a scoring update?
I would like a scoring update.
It's 20-10. Chris and Rick are in first.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
I said Chris and Rick are in first.
Okay, just checking.
All right. Round two. Your first category is an architecture.
Oh, boy.
Within one floor, how many floors are in the Empire State Building?
Wow.
I went up at once. But I never counted the floors. I have an idea, but I could be way off. It was like a long time ago, 30 years ago that I went there. One floor, though? Come on.
That's where I was at. It's like, give me a better range than one floor.
How about 6 inches and we'll go to the height of it, you know?
I think it's a good question, Carmella. Don't listen to the mean man.
Well, it would have been nice to have two floors at least. I mean, not that it would have helped.
Just doesn't make sense. I have a number in my head on feet.
Really?
Well, I've done comparisons of tallest things before.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
But when I equate that into stories, it doesn't feel right at all. All right, I'm gonna write down what feels like a crazy answer. I've written down a really terrible answer.
Okay. So, Rick, what do you, you've been there before. I've actually been outside of it, but I've never actually been in it because I'm afraid of heights. And to me, that just felt like torture if I went up there.
Like I said, this was a long time ago, over 30 years ago I went. I took the elevator. I really wasn't paying attention to what floor we got off on. You know, we went to the top. And I'm trying to gauge what the World Trade Center's height was. So I know it's lower than the World Trade Center's used to be.
Okay.
I've got a guess, but the one floor thing, I don't know. Do you just want me to tell you what it is? And
well, let me. Yeah, what do you think? Because I've got a number in my head. I just want to see if it's comparable or not.
I'm saying 108.
Okay. Because for some reason I had the number 112 in my head.
Right.
And so if you want to go like 109, and then that way it fits 108 and 110, I'd be really good with that.
Okay. 109, and we're locked in.
Like I said, I have a terrible answer. I said 89.
It is 103.
Oh, wow. You guys were close.
Oh, man.
You guys were close.
Man, that sucks.
Rick, when you were talking, I thought to myself, in fact, when I started trying to come up with a number, I started thinking about tall buildings I've been in and how many buttons there are. Did you try and remember how many buttons there were?
You know, 108 seemed very close, and I'm trying to figure out how tall the World Trade Center was, because I know it was small, it was lower than that. But I remember years ago, back in, I want to say either the 40s or the 50s, that a plane crashed into the Empire State Building, and I'm thinking it crashed on the 80th floors, between 80 and 84 or something. Mm-hmm. So I knew it was lower than the top part of the building. It was an accident.
That helped. Good job.
So I figured it was a little higher than that.
All right, your next category is in literature.
Literature.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the whole thing.
Does he have to say it every time?
Not really. I don't like doing things every time. I'm a rebel.
You're a rebel. In the book, The Wizard of Oz by L. Frank Baum, what made the Emerald City look green to its citizens?
Oh.
Rick, if you have any ideas, go ahead and write it down, because I have none.
I'm thinking.
Okay.
I've written down my answer.
Well, I'm thinking, I thought I read somewhere or heard somewhere, and this is way in the recesses of what mind I have, is there was a spell put on the city by the witch, and that's why everything was green, but I could be way off base and thinking of something else. Or maybe it was put on, spell was put on by the wizard, I don't remember.
So you want to say magic or a spell? I'm going to say
it's because there was a I would say it's because there was a spell cast over the city.
Okay. I'm good with that. We'll lock that in.
I said their glasses. I feel like they might have been wearing like emerald-colored glasses or something.
So you've heard the expression, see the world through rose-tinted glasses? They wore green-tinted glasses.
Wow. Nicely done, Jonathan.
Wow, Jonathan.
Sorry. I've read parts of the book. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I haven't read the whole thing, but something stood out about that piece of information.
Nice job.
All right.
Yeah, good job, Jonathan. Man, way to pull that out of your sphincter.
It was in there. When Rick was saying in the back of his mind, I was like, you have no idea how deep I'm reaching for this.
It was sphincter level.
You keep saying sphincter?
Yes.
Sphincter.
You say tomato, I say red.
You say tomato, I say sphincter.
Okay. Last category in the round is in video games.
Oh, crap.
All right.
Super Mario Brothers is the number 2 best-selling bundled game with over 40 million copies sold. What is the number 1 best-selling bundled game?
Can we get a clarification on what bundle is?
Means it was sold with console.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
I'm locked in.
So, Rick, do you play video games at all?
I don't, but both my boys have had every platform at Christmas time. Uh-huh. So they went through the gamut. And I remember some of the games that they did have, but, you know, they were older and they weren't getting a lot of bundled packages. We had to buy, you know, them separately. I've got a couple guesses, but, you know, I don't play myself. I have Zelda and I have Sonic the Hedgehog. I would think there would be the real basic ones at the beginning.
I know for a fact Zelda is not – that's not the answer because Zelda was standalone. The reason I know it is just because back when Chris actually played video games, Zelda was one of his – that was one of the games I played quite a bit.
One of your jams?
Was about to say it was his jam.
Well, I know I say the same statement over and over again. I'm trying my best.
Nobody's judging you for saying something's your jam.
Anyway, so
– say it's your jelly.
Jelly jam.
May I continue, please?
Your marmalade.
Ladies.
Your lady marmalade.
Ladies, may I continue, please? Anyway. So, the ones I wrote down is, and I think this one's wrong. First one I wrote was Super Mario Bros. 3, and I think that's wrong because I think that was a standalone that came out later, or it came out in a bundle, like, later on, but potentially that's not it. Then Combat with the Atari is one of the ones I thought about with the original 2600. And then the other one I had was the other game that I thought that came with the Nintendo along with Super Mario Brothers, and that was Duck Hunt. What?
Your first version of that was the Super Mother Brothers.
I thought I said Mario, but...
You did eventually, but before the Super Mother Brothers.
Okay.
You know, you know, Chris, now that you said Duck Hunt, I think that's probably it because that came with the gun also.
Yeah.
I remember my kids getting that.
So you want to do Duck Hunt then?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with Duck Hunt.
Okay. So Duck Hunt's our final answer.
All right, Jonathan?
I thought about Duck Hunt, but I'm pretty sure that Mario came with every Nintendo and they only added Duck Hunt for some of them. And so I don't think that that was it. My logic here is... we play more video games now than ever before.
True.
So I thought about Sonic too, but I think Mario beat Sonic. But I came more recently because I think we're buying more consoles than we used to. And so I went Halo.
It was with every single Wii, except for one sold in Japan.
Sports.
Wii Sports with over 82 million copies.
I thought about Wii Sports, but I didn't want to say Wii Sports. Ugh.
Man, wow.
All right, after round two, it is a tie game 20-20, thanks to my emerald-colored glasses.
You going to see the world through emerald-colored glasses?
I have had lavender-colored glasses before.
Have you?
Yes. Whoa, where do we find pictures of this?
I was super hip. I was wearing my John Lennon lavender colors.
He was fly.
Yes, right. Fly. They were my jam. All right, round three.
Round three, category is sports.
Sports!
Who sports. Holds the NBA record for most blocks?
It's fantastic.
Blocks.
Wait, are we talking about in a game or in career?
Career.
I'm locked in, Jonathan.
Yes, but.
Really?
Yes, sir.
That fast?
Yes, sir. I'm feeling pretty good.
Okay.
I might be wrong, but I'm feeling pretty good.
The first person who comes to mind is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He leads all time in points scored. And he's definitely a center. He's definitely a blocker. Shaq comes to mind. Robert Parrish comes to mind.
Chief.
Tim Duncan comes to mind now.
Because America runs on Duncan.
And Spurs certainly did.
We'll find out this year because he retired this year.
So, I mean, it was about, in my mind, longevity is the key to this question. I don't know this as the answer, but I'm going to say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
All right. Christopher?
Okay. And this is in my head, so I'm not saying you're wrong or anything like that, but Jabbar, if I remember correctly, was more offense than he was defense.
Probably.
So that's why I didn't go with him. And I was thinking Bill Russell, but I don't think they did blocks as a category stat until like the 60s.
Oh.
And so that would negate a good portion of his. Wilt Chamberlain was in my head for a few moments there, but I ended up ultimately going with Tim Duncan because, one, they play an 82-game season now, which is more than they played in the past. And also, I just remember defensively that that dude was amazing. And so I didn't really have a rationale except for the 82-game season and the fact that he was a defensive machine. So Tim Duncan's my answer.
All right. The answer with 3,830... Hakeem Olajuwon.
Oh, man.
You know what I feel bad about, Chris?
What's that?
I've been asking for more traditional sports questions.
And that was a
totally legit traditional sports question.
That was
question.
A fantastic sports
You're
question.
You're welcome.
We missed it.
Yep, we did. Actually, and also I was thinking, even though he didn't play in the league that long, was Dikembe Mutombo.
Yeah.
Because nobody dunked on Mutombo.
I didn't know Olajuwon. I couldn't imagine him playing that long. I don't feel like his career was that long.
Oh,
my goodness.
Yeah.
All right. It's everyone's favorite category, science.
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 What part of the brain is central to processing memory and emotional reactions?
Emotional reactions?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're letting Jonathan write this down and we'll talk it out.
I don't know. I'm going to write down a terrible answer.
I love terrible answers.
It's terrible.
And it's an answer.
My terrible answer is locked in.
Chris, what do you think?
The problem is I've been butchering words today already.
This is like the shin bone.
Yeah, no, stop it.
The knee bone's connected to the Chris bone.
I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Waterboy, but...
I thought of this.
But the answer that comes to my head is the, oh gosh, I can't pronounce it. The medulla oblongata. I cannot pronounce the stupid
Something's name. Wrong with his medulla oblongata.
that word.
They got all them teeth, but no toothbrush.
So that's... That was my thought process. Sadly, was the little bit of knowledge I know from the Waterboy. So I'm sorry, I just don't know science.
I was going back to Young Frankenstein, and that was the same thing that came in Young Frankenstein too.
Much better reference than mine, by the way.
I don't know. There's four lobes to the brain. There's the frontal. There's the. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know if we're looking for a lobe like that, or if we're looking for your answer for Waterboy. We'll go with Chris. We'll go with yours.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
Can you try to say it for me, please?
What was the answer again? Abdullah.
No.
Lagana.
Abdullah the butcher.
Abdullah Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Abdullah Ablongata.
Oh, you just said it.
Did I say it right?
Yes.
Oh, sweet.
I'm sorry.
Medulla oblongata. Final answer.
So I definitely thought about medulla oblongata and...
Anagata DeVita.
I switched at the last minute and I said amygdala.
It is part of the limbic system, the amygdala.
Woo!
Man.
Amy G. Dalla.
I'm so stoked. So amygdala is the name of a Batman bad guy.
I don't remember him.
He is.
Okay.
And,
I don't disagree with you. I'm
he's
just
like he's like this rage monster kind of thing, I think, if I'm not crazy.
All right. Last question in the half is in geography.
Geography.
What is the only Great Lake that is entirely located within the borders of the U.S.?
Interesting. Very, very interesting, Dr. Jones.
Crap on toast.
That sounds gross.
We had a...
It stinks too.
Jonathan and I were playing trivia on Wednesday night. We had a Great Lakes question, and he was able to write them all down and everything. Rick, do you have any ideas? Jonathan's still thinking, so don't say it, but do you have any ideas?
Well, I know the Great Lakes. I know the five of them, but I'm eliminating a couple of them.
All right, well, still think out. I'm going to be relying heavily on you on this one. My lonely eyes turn to you.
All right, I'm locked in.
So, Rick, talk to me. What are you thinking, buddy?
All right, well, I'm going to eliminate Ontario because it's probably touching part of Canada.
I would hope so, with it being named Ontario.
That was a definite one I eliminated for that reason. I'm trying to think which one's the smallest one, and that would have more of a tendency to be less area, so... Okay.
You want to know something funny?
What's that?
Ontario is the smallest one.
Oh.
That was our question on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Oh, wow.
What about Lake Erie? Was that one of the ones you crossed off?
That's the one I'm hedging towards. I'm okay with Erie if you are.
Yeah, I was thinking it was either Erie or Michigan, and the only reason I was thinking Michigan was because it's like you were saying with Ontario. It's but some reason I think Michigan actually is touching Canada.
All right, I'll say Lake Erie locked in.
Jonathan.
Okay, my Great Lakes geography is not good. It's a little better than it used to be, though.
Really, I thought it was pretty solid. You usually are pretty good when it comes to
got Ontario. Trudeau.
Well, I can name them, and I've seen Ontario. I've been in that area. So I went with Michigan. I know that Chicago is on Lake Michigan. It stretches downwards like a if you were to fill a water balloon and hang it down, that's kind of how it hangs. And I think Wisconsin, it's either Wisconsin or Minnesota that sits on top of Illinois. And so the top part of the lake would be touching that. And on the right side of it, I believe it's all Michigan. So like the upper peninsula could be the upper point of Michigan. Yes. No. The upper peninsula, which is Michigan's glove. And then there's this part that hangs out like that. That could be the northern border of Lake Michigan. And then Michigan, the glove on the right side, and then Wisconsin and Illinois on the left. So I said Lake Michigan.
Lake Michigan. All right. So we got Erie and Michigan.
Yes. Erie, Michigan.
The answer is Lake Michigan.
Yes. Dadgummit.
Now, it's funny. I get it right. Now I want to go look it up and understand where it really fits.
That's what I'm here for. I'm here to inspire learning.
I should have stuck to my thought process. It's Michigan, so therefore doesn't touch Canada.
All right. That's the end of the third round. Jonathan's taking a lead. It is now 40-20.
Man, we haven't gotten one right since the first round. Man.
You are correct, sir.
Wait, we haven't gotten anything right since the first. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Wait, way to rub it in.
No, I'm just trying to make sure that Jonathan's scoring is not off.
Can you tell me something you've gotten right?
That's what I'm thinking right now, sir.
They haven't.
Okay.
All right, your midpoint.
Thanks, Carmelo. You were my favorite.
Aw. But if
he said were. Yeah. Were. Now that he knows
I was on
Team Carmelo.
Carmelo's group, but now I have to go over to Ben.
So
the one of us who's not here.
And not his teammate, by the way.
I have fair weather fans.
Welcome to my world. I start the show. I'm Team Ben. I'm Team Carmella.
Jonathan, you're your own team.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. So what's the category?
It is in celebrity marriages.
Okay. Oh, no. So much for that lead.
Elizabeth Taylor was married 8 times to 7 different people.
Oh, bollocks.
Name 4 of them.
Oh, God.
I think I have 3 of them.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, I've named 3 out of 4 terrible answers. I'm locked in with those terrible answers.
Okay. So I've got 2 so far, Rick. So what do you got?
I've got Richard Burton. I've got Hilton. I don't remember his first name. Conrad, I think. I've got Eddie Fisher. And the last one that she married before she died was a young guy. I think he was a contractor or something.
Yes, he was. I cannot remember his name, though.
I want to say Florensky or something like that, but I don't remember his name.
The two I got was Richard Burton and Eddie Fisher, and I know those are 100% correct because Richard Burton was with her in Cleopatra, and then the reason I know Eddie Fisher is that Carrie Fisher did a fantastic one-person play where she talked about her whole life. One of the things she talked about was when her dad decided to leave his her mom to go be with Elizabeth Taylor, and so that's the only reason I remember that portion of it.
Nice.
Conrad, you know, Hilton.
But also she – didn't she marry Richard Burton twice? So that we can count that as two, right?
Yeah. Okay. No. She said no because that's what her question was that she was married eight times to seven different people. So that's where it's like it would be great if we could, but that would also be wrong.
I tried.
So let's say Richard Burton, Eddie Fisher, Conrad Hilton, and then whatever you're going to tell us.
Let's say the last guy's name is Frosty. I can't spell it though.
Okay,
I don't
fair
know if
enough.
He's spelling on that or not.
Are you saying Frosky?
I believe so. Frosky or Ferensky.
Which one?
Yeah, pick one.
Ferensky.
Ferensky. All right, so.
So I said Humphrey Bogart, Cary Grant, Woody Allen, and Richard Burton.
All right.
Wow.
Wow.
Just hoping she married one other famous person.
You were just basically throwing darts at a dartboard, is what you're saying.
Well, I got Richard Burton.
Yeah, that's true.
Twice.
Let it count twice.
It does not count twice. Conrad Nicky Hilton.
Nice.
Michael Wilding. Mike Todd. Eddie Fisher. Richard Burton. John Warner. And Larry Fortensky.
Oh, wow. You were so close.
Oh.
Man. But we'll take our three and be okay with it. We gained on him 10 points.
It's 45 to 35.
All right.
I forgot about Todd. I remember him now.
Mm.
Yeah, Mike Todd is the one that died, and that's when she started her affair with Eddie Fisher.
Oh, okay.
So I read Wishful Drinking, which was the book that she did for that play.
The best line that came out of that is, every time I look in the mirror, I owe George Lucas $5.
All right, guys. That's the end of the first half. We're going to take a quick break and start the second half right after this.
All right. We're in the second half of the game, and category is history.
Hit the wave.
Within 1 year, what year was the Treaty of Versailles signed?
Which one?
The one that ended World War I.
Oh, okay. Because
there's more than one Treaty of Versailles.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm locked in. Chris is standing up to get a better view of my written down answer,
no,
I see.
My hip was hurt. I was trying to move it.
His neck was stretched.
What did you see, Chris?
Absolutely nothing. I'm pretty confident in this answer anyway. The end of World War II, I believe, was started in 1914. I believe it ended in 1916. And so my answer would be 1917 because I know it usually takes a little bit of time. But also that year covers 1918, just in case I'm a little off on the date. Right, and also it covers if it actually was signed the same year that it was that it ended. So are you okay with going with 1917?
I am. Yep, okay. That sounds good.
So 1917, locked in.
All right, Jonathan?
World War I went from 1914 to 1918. I built a year in on the back like you did, so I said 1919.
It was signed in 1919.
Crap. Dadgummit. I'm sorry, man. That sucks.
Nope, that's fine.
I did not realize. I do not know why I blanked out on that one. Man. All right.
Your next category is in movies. Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor were in four movies together. What was the first one?
Oh, wow. Good question.
I love one of them. There's one of them I adore, but it ain't that one.
I wonder if it's the same one that's my favorite.
Probably. It was almost Blazing Saddles, by the way.
Oh, yeah,
he was
absolutely.
Supposed to be in Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, Levon Little.
Levon Little.
Yeah, but instead Richard relation. Pryor wrote pretty much three quarters of the movie.
I'm not having a hard time thinking of what I want to think of, but I'm having a hard time remembering the name. Oh, this is going to be wrong.
Good.
I'm locked in, frustrated.
All right. Well, Rick, you said that older movies were one of your strengths, so...
The only one I could think of was Silver Streak. Other than that, I don't have any other movies listed, so... Okay. If you have any other ones besides Silver Streak?
No, I know the last one, and that was the one that they did where Gene Wilder was blind and Richard Pryor was deaf.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, that one was a trip.
Wasn't their last one, though?
I thought that was their last one.
They did one in the early 90s that was a flop.
I think Silver Streak was the first one, because that's the one – I couldn't remember which color. I wrote down Blue Streak, but I was like, I think that's a Martin Lawrence movie. But I think Silver Streak was the first one. So I'm going to go with that as
– That's what I – that was the first thing that came into my mind. So
okay. Let's go with that then.
You might be right. I couldn't remember exactly the name. I wrote down Cutting Loose. I kept mixing up Cutting and Crazy. It might be Crazy something, but I feel like – so I said Cutting Loose.
I knew there was a Stir Crazy.
That's probably what I'm thinking of.
Stir Crazy, yeah.
See No Evil, Hear No Evil is my favorite.
That's what it was,
that,
yeah.
That is my favorite. And actually, it was Richard Pryor who was blind and Gene Wilder who was deaf.
Deaf, okay.
But the answer in 1976 was Silver Streak.
Yes!
Darn it!
The nice others job, were right. Stir Crazy in 1981, See No Evil, Hear No Evil in 1989, and Another You in 1991.
Oh, wow. I don't even remember Another You.
It's a huge flop.
I don't remember that one either.
Good job, Rick.
That was big for you guys.
Thank you.
All right. Let's keep on rolling.
All right. Category is science.
Science.
Well done.
What is a human's largest organ? Shut up.
If you're a guy, you automatically start chuckling at a question like that.
Also, not the right answer.
Largest.
Can I call my wife in? She's an operating room nurse.
No. No, you cannot.
Yes, please.
Can you define organ? Or no, I'm sorry. Can you define largest in this case? Body parts. No, yeah, well, body parts, they can change sizes, right? In operation, when like your heart's pumping, it changes size. Other things change size when they do what they do. So how do we mean by size here?
I'm going to say surface area. That's the largest.
Surface area.
I'm just sitting here. No, actually, I think I know the answer. So
I've got all kinds of different ways to mess this question up because I've heard sometimes things are referred to organs and other times they're not referred to as organs. All right, I'm just going to go with the answer that strikes me as right, and I'm going to argue it when we get to it.
Oh, yay. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, there's two possible wrong answers for me to choose from here.
And he'll argue with either.
I could, yes. That's why I'm struggling with the question.
Terrible, dude. Terrible.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Not argue.
I have a nice Wurlitzer. That would be my largest organ.
Ooh, those are good. Very pretty.
She said that wasn't funny at all.
Dun, 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 dun.
All right. I'm locked in.
All right.
All right. So, Rick, my initial, the word I wrote down skin. Because I honestly think I've heard this as a trivia question before, and I believe that the answer was skin. I do not have a rhyme or reason for it. It's not something I learned in school. It's not something I read. Just sheer thinking I got this question in the past before.
Well, I'm just thinking possibly the large intestine, only because when you stretch it out, it's
huge.
Oh,
that's a good point. Yeah, it's like miles long or something like that.
And I'm thinking about skin, but since you brought it up, that's a good possibility too. If you flatten it out, that's. Yeah. See, and she didn't say weight, so.
And she didn't say longest; she said largest.
Right, right. So you can take that, and that's probably what Jonathan was looking at there too. I want to say the large intestine's like 18 feet long or something like that, if I remember right.
Oh, I thought it was longer than that, even. But man,
I don't know. I don't know what you want to go with.
I would like to go with skin. If I'm by myself, that's the answer I'm given.
Chris, I'm going to let you make the decision.
Oh, goody. All right.
And I won't blame you if it's wrong.
No, that's okay. I'll blame myself plenty. We're going to go with skin, final answer.
All right. Jonathan?
So I thought of skin, but I don't believe skin is an organ, and I'm sure I've argued about that in the past. So I said lungs. because when they inflate, they're much larger than any other organs in the body. But actually, you said you were thinking large intestine. I think the small intestine is the longer one.
Yeah.
And if I'd have thought of that, I might have gone with that because the large intestine is pretty big. But I said lungs.
There's a reason why I said largest organ instead of largest internal organ. It is the skin.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Nice job. Woo. Nice job.
And the reason I said it the way I did, because I knew Jonathan was going to argue with me.
I just don't. It's probably something simple on me. Nope. After round four.
We should be tied.
It is a tie game.
Yes, Rick. We're doing it, man.
55-55.
We're taking the king down.
Shove it, Trebek.
All right, round five. First category is in toys. A new world record for solving the Rubik's Cube was set in 2015.
Within 1 nanosecond, how fast is the new record?
What was the time within 0.5 seconds?
Oh, see, she was going to say 1 second.
Why did you do this
to me?
But
now she did it 0.5.
Why did you do this to me?
I think that's awesome.
Is it really within 0.1 second or 0.5 seconds?
Yes.
Oh, my God. All right, I'm locked in.
All right.
All right, Rick, talk to me, man. What are you thinking?
All right.
He hates me.
It seems I just heard of this recently. Well, yeah. I think I've just heard of this.
That's a given.
Thanks.
That's a given.
No, I'm kidding. I want to say it's like 8.5 or 8.9 seconds. It's really quick. I was surprised. There's very few moves to do it. And it seems like it was not, you know, it's just, it, like I said, it was just recent, but it seems like I heard something on the news, as a blurb or something or other, or read it somewhere or something. I'm going to say like 8.9, but I mean, it's entirely up to you.
Okay. 8.9, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, and I'm okay with an answer like that because America's Got Talent's been on, and there's actually a magician that does his magic tricks with a Rubik's Cube. He just, like, he would have one of them mix it up real quick, and he literally would do it. Like, he would do it like that. It's just, it's amazing. So I'm okay with doing 8.9 because that sounds kind of legitimate enough.
Okay, 8.9 seconds locked in.
All right, so we talked the other day about the number of seconds or number of minutes or whatever that you're provided as a buffer, determining in my mind how the answer is going to fit. So like if you say within one either way, I said, okay, well, that means it's going to be like 5 to 10. If you say within two either way, then that might be like 10 to 20 or something like that. 0.5 makes me go lower. Otherwise, it would have been 1 second either way, I imagine. So I said 4.3.
Okay.
So this was set in August of 2015 by 14-year-old Lucas Etter. He's a kid from the Midwest.
Wow.
4.90 seconds.
Wow.
So close.
Wow.
You were so close.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Darn it. I actually went at my paper.
But your logic was right there.
My paper, 5.8 scratched off, 4.9 scratched off.
Oh, wow.
4.3 is where I landed.
The previous record before Lucas was 5.25.
Okay, my question is like, is this one of the things where they had like three twists and it was done?
No, it's randomized.
These are bad jokes, man.
Well, so literally.
Really bad jokes.
It's a case where they can look at it in advance of solving.
Okay.
So they get a chance to see it for a minute. And then they're just like, done.
And the hand movement's amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah, I saw YouTube the video for it, and it was impressive.
You should YouTube it.
Well, like I said, you should
I can't
also,
imagine it.
Yeah.
By the way, they use low-friction cubes to do this. These are speed cubes.
What?
Yep.
I didn't know that there was a difference.
They can't use a regular – they can't do that with a regular cube. It'll get all jammed up.
Mm-hmm.
But they use these low-friction cubes that are the same, but they move more easily.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
They're like greased up.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably like 80 bucks or something like that for one.
All right, your next category is in food.
Getting food. Some soon.
Pearls will melt in what common cooking ingredient?
I'm locked in.
So pearls will melt in what common cooking ingredient? I'll be honest with you. I've got no freaking clue. I've never read. I've never heard any of this at all. I've never thought to try to melt a pearl before.
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay. So would it be maybe like shortening or something like that? Or do you have any ideas, Rick? I'm going to let you talk.
I know it's not water for that because they grow in the water because of the oysters. I'm wondering maybe if it would be salt, but I don't think it's salt because the oysters are in, well, they could be freshwater or saltwater pearls. So I don't think it would be salt. I don't think milk, cider vinegar. I'm thinking of something maybe vinegar. It's going to be something acidic, I would think. So maybe a vinegar.
Let's go ahead and say vinegar then. Because we're going to come up. Okay.
I said vinegar.
It is mostly made of calcium carbonate, the pearl, and it will melt in vinegar.
Wow.
Vinegar is the only thing y'all named other than salt that really had any acid in it at all.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you got to it, I figured, oh, crap, they named it. I was hoping you wouldn't say it.
Supposedly, Cleopatra impressed Mark Antony by melting a pearl in her wine. So.
Wow. Okay, that's weird. But
nice.
All right, your last category in round five is in music.
Music!
All right.
What actress played the dead woman that Tom Petty took home in the video for Mary Jane's Last Dance?
Locked in?
Yeah, I'm locked in, too.
Ooh.
Chris, go ahead and do it. Yep.
All right. So you want to do first and last name or just last name?
Last name.
Okay. So go ahead and count us down.
3, 2, 1.
Basinger.
It is Kim Basinger.
Nice job.
Thank you. Thank you.
We said it differently.
Yeah, you said Basinger.
Yeah. It's Basinger. So good thing she's not getting all correct on you.
I know. We're taking it off a half a point for the S.
You said a soft A sound. It was a long
within
A.
One syllable.
All right. Out of round five, score is 75-75.
All right. We got ourselves a match here.
All right. Coming into the last round. First category is in sports.
Sports.
Lacrosse is the national summer sport of what country?
Wow.
National summer sport.
Remember when you're saying those traditional sports questions? This is not one of them.
All right, just for the sake of speed, I'm locked in.
All right.
Rick, any ideas, or you want me just to...
Nope, go ahead. I would say great. You know, I'm thinking maybe Great Britain, but...
Yeah, honestly, that's where I was thinking, too, was England. Yeah, you know what? Because I think like cricket is India. Yeah, right. We're gonna say England. Final answer.
So I thought that soccer would be for most places in Europe. Soccer doesn't seem to be too huge in Canada, so I guess Canada.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, Canada! Yeah. It is Canada.
Wow!
Nice job.
The only lacrosse question, the only lacrosse thing I have,
Jim Brown.
Yep, my uncle played with Jim Brown. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
All right, your next category is in literature. The narrator of this book would say, "So it goes," every time a character died. I want you to name the book.
Every time somebody died, he said, "So it goes."
Mm-hmm.
So it goes.
Ball. Wait for it. Licks. Bollocks.
I'm getting jammed up with a stupid Billy Joel song, and it's keeping me from thinking right. All right, I'm locked in.
Okay. I know it's not Charge of the Light Brigade.
It's a good answer.
So you're going to go with World War One?
All right. I'm trying to think of books and things that like a lot of people died in. And that's
really the same direction I went. It had to be multiple deaths.
Yeah, so I was thinking Romeo and Juliet. And I was thinking Murder on the Orient Express, hence the first name in the title, Murder. So,
Murder Man. So
do you have any ideas, my friend? I'm really hoping you do.
I'm drawing a blank. I don't think it's Murder on the Orient Express because I've seen the movie and it never says that, but the book could be something else too. Okay. I've never read the book.
I know there's a few deaths in Great Gatsby. I don't think it's anything remotely current.
Could be Titanic. There's a lot of deaths in that. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, wait a minute.
And the man fell, and ping, and so it goes.
Oh, dude. Oh.
Sound effects in that movie were atrocious.
Oh.
And yet, ping.
And yet it's still won best movie. Terrible. Terrible. So, Rick, any ideas?
No, say what? Do it.
Oh, thanks.
all you, Christopher.
Oh, gee.
You know what? The problem with going with Romeo and Juliet is it just doesn't sound Shakespearean, to be honest with you. You know what? Let's just go ahead and move on. Romeo and Juliet, final answer.
Jonathan?
So I tried to think of something where the narrator might be kind of depressed. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of an Eeyore thing to say. Somebody dies.
Bother.
And they're like, and so it goes. So I said The Grapes of Wrath.
All right. The narrator of this book, his name was Billy Pilgrim. And the book is Slaughterhouse-Five by Kurt Vonnegut.
Oh, wow.
And it was kind of like, you know, this person died, and so it goes.
Yeah. No, I've never read Slaughterhouse-Five. Yeah. I've read some Vonnegut, but not that one.
I have not read any Vonnegut, and I really need to, because that comes up in more than one trivia question.
He is actually a very accessible author for modern audiences. He's not...
It stands to test
books
the time.
His books are weird.
They're weird.
Like, if you read Cat's Cradle, it's weird.
But
it's good.
It could have been 1980s science fiction.
Yeah.
So... yeah, he's actually a pretty cool author to check out.
Yeah.
Zeros for both of us.
All right, well, let's hope the last question in the game it goes better.
For us, not for
Jonathan. No, if it stays just like this, I'll be okay.
Your last category is in television.
Televisiones.
Thanks, Carmella.
You're welcome. In the TV show MASH, what is Corporal Klinger's first name?
All right. I'm 180% sure of this. No. But I will wait for you, Rick, if you want me to.
I'm 181% confident. No, go ahead, Chris. You're good.
All right. We're locked in.
All right. Klinger. Klinger's the guy who dressed up like a lady. He was from Toledo. He was a Mudhens fan. I don't know if I've ever heard his first name. Corporal Klinger. Bob Klinger. Steve Klinger.
Hello.
Hedley Klinger.
Hedy Klinger.
Oh, gosh. Klinger. I don't know. I'm going to say Eddie.
All right. Colonel Potter used to like to call him Max, but his real name was Maxwell, I believe, Q. Klinger. But Maxwell Klinger.
Maxwell.
Played by the wonderful Jamie Farr. Max or Maxwell Klinger.
Yes. Tied it up. By the way, the cool part also
is...
tie
it up.
Yes, we did.
Oh, no, you did.
Wow, really, dude?
My bad. My bad. All right. Well, guess what? Going into the final, 85-85, it's a tie game.
All right. Oof.
Just a reminder, our tiebreaker procedures, if we tie at the end, is our rock, paper, scissors, best 2 out of 3. So, remember that, children.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's hear what the final category is before
your final category is in social media.
All right.
Wow.
Changing it up, folks.
Wager's written down.
I've got it locked in.
All right, Carmella, what's the question?
All right, put these social media networks in order of their year of release, earliest to latest. Pinterest, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr.
Wow, I'm actually kind of wishing we bet a little bit.
All right, I'm locked in.
Okay, so Rick, here's what I have written down. Twitter 1, I think that's without a shadow of doubt the first one. 2, Instagram. 3, I have Pinterest, and then 4, Tumblr.
All right. Well, I had Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, and Tumblr. So I'm reversed on the first two that we have. But like I said, I'm not 100% on social media anyways.
I got you. So, because I think Twitter came out like a year or two after Facebook. And
okay.
And then Instagram didn't become popular until really camera phones became a real big thing, and you're able to download on the smartphones. And I know Twitter's been around for a minimum of 10 years now, because I think they just celebrated their anniversary.
Okay.
So all right. So our final answer is going to be Twitter, then Instagram, then Pinterest, then Tumblr. I don't even know what the heck Tumblr is.
I do.
Okay. Thanks.
Social help media. Me out.
Thank you. All right, Jonathan.
All right, so Twitter was early-ish. I thought that was like 2008. So I said Twitter first. I said Pinterest second. I said Tumblr third, and Instagram fourth.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. In 2006, Twitter. In 2007, Tumblr.
Oh.
2010, Instagram. 2011, Pinterest.
Wow. All right, wow.
My Tumblr is actually old enough to go to first grade now.
My answer couldn't have been more wrong.
Mine was fair, yeah.
So well, we were both closer. Wrong.
Yeah, we were both wrong.
Comes down to wagers.
All right, so Jonathan, what did you wager?
I put the goose egg. I got a zero.
Well, Rick, would you like to tell Jonathan what we wagered?
We wagered zero also.
Oh! So for the first time ever, going at the final ends in a tie.
We have an 85-85 tie.
All right. So all right, how do Chris, you want to do this, Jonathan?
We're going to stay where we are.
All right.
We're going to do 1, 2, 3, shoot.
Okay. So and 1, 2, 3, shoot.
Yes. Okay. You throw on the word shoot.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Ready? All right. Here
so
we go.
So now I'll do color commentary.
All right. All right, Rick.
Here we go.
Luck.
Best 2 out of 3.
Good luck.
Best 2 out of 3.
Good luck.
All right, here we go.
1, 2, 3, shoot.
All right. We've got Jonathan right. Scissors, Chris Paper. Jonathan right. wins that round.
Here we go.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, shoot.
All right. We've got Jonathan Scissors, Chris Rock.
Comes down to this.
Chris Rock. There we go.
All right. Here
Chris
we go.
Chris Rock.
1, 2, 3, shoot. Oh!
Yes! We win!
Jonathan Rock?
No!
Chris and Rick win!
Chris, I've been dying to say this for a while. It's not a win for Jonathan.
Oh, yes. Team Rick. Team Rick.
Oh, no. I thought I was going to be good, and I was bad.
I used psychology on you. I figured out what you did after the second one, and I was like, okay, I know where he's going with the third. Boom. Oh, so good.
Oh, that was awesome. Very okay, cool. So... No points are assigned on that, but Chris and Rick, you guys win officially, the first tiebreaker ever. Chris and Rick win 85-85. Well
That's
done.
Awesome.
Good job. All right. Yeah. So, Rick, remind people if they are interested in getting some handcrafted or hand-painted ornaments or that kind of cool stuff, what's the email address they should reach out to you at?
They can reach me at Rick Painter. OSCI at yahoo.com. That's RickPainter. OSCI at yahoo.com.
Very cool. And so, guys, one big piece of news that we didn't talk about at the beginning of the show.
Okay.
When I go out to iTunes, actually, I got a text from Carmella in the middle of the week while I was at work. And
I was like, look, guess what?
She sent me a picture.
I thought we were at trivia. Because I thought you showed it to me, and you're
it
like,
it was
look
earlier
at
that
it.
Day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It was an old text.
Because you showed it to me, and you're like, what are you not seeing, dummy? You big dummy.
So I got a text at work, and it was a picture of our iTunes page, and it was from Carmella. We have hit the 100 review.
Excellent.
The hike to 100 is over. The trek to 125 begins.
There we go.
But you know what that means, right? Right?
Right, Chris? Right. You know what that
right.
means?
Right.
No, what does that mean?
It means you get to dance for
Chris?
Us.
Yes?
I feel no, I'm saying you have to dance. I feel
like man.
It's not right now. We're going to record this later in better lighting.
Man, I didn't realize that more than just the people in this room knew about that. Man.
So if you guys want to see Chris dance... It's going to be short, by the way. It's not a long clip. It's going to be like 5 seconds.
Thank God.
We're going to put that on the webpage at TrivialWarfare.com. I'll let you know when that's up. The where I will announce it when it's up is the Trivial Warfare Army Facebook group. That's who's going to find out. So if you want to see it and you want to know when it's up, be sure to go to Trivial Warfare Army on Facebook. Just search for it and you'll find our group. And let's go ahead and read some of those new reviews that have come in. Okay, so our first review that we haven't read yet is from SuperGleek84368. And SuperGleek said, a lot, actually. Let me hit the more button.
By the way, love the name Gleek from Wonder Twins. Wonder Twin Powers Activate.
There you go.
Or yeah. He could be a Glee fan. They're known as Gleeks.
Oh, interesting.
Were they?
Yeah.
I had an anatomical association to the word.
Oh, my.
Okay, so SuperGleek said, I already had binge listened to all of my podcasts like Dear Hank and John, Stuff You Missed in History Class, Eat Your Kimchi, which apparently is a show, Let's Make Mistakes Together, blah, blah, and Trivia Geeks. When it comes to podcasts, I like to listen to ones that are not only informative, but has humor. I came across you guys, fell in love with you in the first 5 months. After the first 5 minutes, minutes, not months. And he says, counting after the sponsors in the intro. Oh, and the first episode that they listened to is TW69, Three Guys and a Girl. So that's the one that hooked him.
That's good stuff.
Grateful for random comments and jokes helped me. Oh, this is cool. You've helped me tremendously with my anxiety and depression.
Oh, that's awesome.
What I'm looking forward to the most, that after my 21st birthday, which is on the 12th of August.
Happy belated birthday.
That's awesome. Super Gleek. Yes. Is to use my newfound information and random facts from you guys at a future trivia night at different bars. Love from Stacy in New Ulm, Minnesota.
That just made my day right there. That was fantastic. Thank you, Stacy.
Stacy, I really appreciate you coming out and saying that. I'm also a person who deals with anxiety and depression, so I think that's really awesome that this helps you.
Yeah, amen.
Thank you, Stacy. Great. We love that you're listening. The next review is from Luke.
Hey, Luke.
Luke number 2807. Luke says, podcast is entertaining for both the trivia and the interaction between the host. The episode featuring the brilliant and charming Brianna Garten as a guest player is particularly great.
Is Brianna's husband named Luke?
I'm going to guess possibly yes. But to be fair, someone else might have thought that Brianna was charming and beautiful.
Brianna is very charming.
She very much is, yes.
And not beautiful? Why not beautiful?
No, she's beautiful.
Okay, kind of left that part off there. I was like, oh.
And also graduated now as well. So congratulations, Brianna.
Did she now?
Yes.
Oh, she made congratulations, there, Brianna. So. All right. So we are going to read more of these reviews in the future episodes. Thank you guys so much. Obviously, keep them coming as you listen to the show and enjoy it. If you haven't done a review yet, go out to iTunes. We're now on the trek to 125.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
We need a Warhead of the Week.
We do need a Warhead of the Week. And guess who that's going to be?
I wonder if it's Rick.
Rick, you haven't met a Warhead of the Week before, have you?
No, I have not.
No, you have not. Well, you have now, my friend. Our Warhead of the Week today is Rick Painter.
Okay, I was going to say,
Major Rick Painter.
It's Little.
Jared, do it again.
So I'm from the Middle Ages, where what you do is actually what you're called.
Painterson.
I was an oak, so that's apparently awesome. I was a tree.
Tree, yeah.
Chris was
a Hollister.
A Hollis.
Yes, I owned a surf shop.
Yeah. And Carmelo was a blacksmith.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Our Warhead of the Week is Rick Little. Rick, Major Little. Major Rick Little. Thank you so much for coming on, Rick.
Thank you for having me. It was a great time. I had a blast.
Awesome. Good. And as a major, this will not be the last time that you're on. I can't say when the next time will be. It'll be a while. But you will be back, my friend.
Sounds good. I will be looking forward to it.
All Excellent. Right, Rick.
Yeah, thank you for helping me score a win over the Jonathan.
That was really, that was really good. That was a cool, that was a fun way to finish. Even I enjoyed it. All right, Chris, get us out of here.
All right. Well, Rick, thank you again. Carmelo, wonderful questions. Well
Thanks.
Done. We really appreciate you and all, because trust me, as now that I could say that I've written questions for the show, it is hard as heck.
That's why he never judges anybody's questions. He's always like, no, that's a great question.
Okay, I was going to say, okay, Mr. McJudgy. Anyway.
Yes, I judge.
So, Judgy McJudgy. Jonathan, well, he judges in general.
Jonathan, yes. Thank you very, very much for going rock. That was perfect. I appreciate that. And so if you need to get a hold of Jonathan, you can reach out to him by going to by emailing him at trivialwarfare@gmail.com. Again, that's trivialwarfare@gmail.com. You can reach me if you have a warm it up Chris question like today.
Like Brian Eller did.
Thank you. Like Brian Eller did. You can email it to me at warmitupchris@yahoo.com. Again, that's warmitupchris@yahoo.com. And until next time, that's Rick. That's Jonathan. That's the First Lady. And this is Chris. And this is Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Trivial Warfare. To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or in any other good podcast app. And find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare.
Crazy low, maybe. I don't know.
He's giving me that look like he doesn't like me.
Mm. I wasn't even looking at you.
I can feel it in your eyebrows.
Quit feeling my eyebrows, Carmella.
Maybe that's what she likes to do.
What? So weird. Wavelength, Chris.
In my head, it was not weird, but it just sounded a lot creepier than it meant it to be, so...